Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Chav Bet Amud Aleph. The Gemara here is going back to discuss the Mishnah that we saw on yesterday's daf about Bosar that became Tameh inside of the Azara and Basar that became Tameh outside of the Azara. We had the opinion of Beit Shammai, who says that everything gets burnt inside of the Azara except for something that's Nitma Ba'avatuma that was outside of the Azara when it became Tameh. Beit Hillel has the opposite opinion, which is everything is burnt outside the Azara except for something that's Vlada Tuma, that was inside of the Azara. On the other hand, we had the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the differentiation has nothing to do with the placement, but rather the type of Tuma. If it's an Ava Tuma or a Vlada Tuma. If it's an Ava Tuma, it's always outside. Vlada Tuma is always inside. And the last opinion was that of Rabbi Akiva, who said that the level of Tuma makes no difference, but rather location is the only thing that matters, because you burn it inside or outside wherever it became Tameh. Now we have a Machloket Amorim. We have Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara, who's in that transitional generation between the Tanaim and Morim, Amar, Ava Tuma Dvar Torah. When the Mishnah says Ava Tuma, it doesn't literally mean Ava Tuma. It means anything that is Tuma Min HaTorah. Vlada Tuma, the lower levels of Tuma, that means Tuma Midivrehem. It's only Tuma Midrabanan. So whatever is spoken about in our Mishnah, Ava Tuma means Tuma Deoraita, whether it's an Ava Tuma, Rishon, Sheni, whatever it is, that's Deoraita Tuma. Vlada Tuma is Tuma de Rabbanan. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan, the second generation of Morah, says, Amar Ben Zeh Dvar Torah. Makes no difference, they're both Dine Dvar Torah, which means Ava Tuma is a level, the highest level of Tuma, which can be Metame, Adam, and Kelim, that's Midoraita. The Vlada Tuma is also Doraita, but we're talking about a Rishon and a Sheni and a Shlishi, that is Tuma Midoraita. We're not talking about Tuma Dirabanan. Now the Gemara poses a question, Rabbi Yochanan's Shita. It says, Kasha the Rabbi Yochanan al de Beit Shammai. It's a problem for Rabbi Yochanan and Beit Shammai. It's really worded backwards, which is that the position of Beit Shammai causes a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. Beit Shammai omri makol yisareit bimifnim. Everything that's burnt inside, chutz mishnitma ba'ava tuma bachutz. Except for something that is nitma ba'ava tuma outside. Ma ben ava tuma bachutz, ma ben vlada tuma bachutz. Why does it make a difference if the tuma was ava tuma outside of the azara or vlada tuma outside of the azara? V'zev zelo dvar torahu. Varnit Rabbi Yochanan, both the ava tuma here and the vlada tuma, we're talking about tuma deoraita. So why would you bring in the tuma deoraita of vlada tuma back into the azara, and you wouldn't bring in back in something that was maybe ava tuma back into the azara? Why should there be any differentiation if they are both Tumot deoraita? What do you mean? You're saying it's a problem with Rabbi Yochanan and Beit Shammai? It's also a problem in Beit Hillel. Even Beit Hillel's shita cannot fit into Rabbi Yochanan. The Beit Hillel amrin hakol yisareif mi bachutz. Everything is burnt outside the azara. Chutz imash nitnua belavlada tuma bifnim, except for something that became tamei belavlada tuma inside the azara. Ma ben vlada tuma bifnim, ma ben ava tuma bifnim. What's the difference between Vlada Tuma inside the Azara and Ava Tuma inside the Azara? V'zev zeh lo dvar torahu. Again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, they're both Dinei Tuma Midoraita. So if they're both Dinei Tuma Midoraita, why do we allow one to stay in and one has to go out? The Ava Tuma has to leave. Something that became Tameh, but Ava Tuma has to leave. Something that became Tameh, Vlada Tuma can stay in. Why should there be any differentiation? So Gemara says, lo havu ba rabbanan, ela al debar kapara. So two interpretations here of what that means. One possibility is, lo pilpulu achachamim b'divrei Rabbi Yochanan. They did not discuss Rabbi Yochanan shita, because it's not really a question. Ava tuma is much more chamur than vlada tuma. And so it's obvious what the answer is here. There's a differentiation between ava tuma and vlada tuma. That's one way to read it. The more likely way to read it is that, lo pilpulu achachamim in the divrei Rabbi Yochanan. They didn't try to answer it up because they had no answer for Rabbi Yochanan's position. Because we're going to paskin like bar kapara anyway. And we have a solution to the questions that we're going to pose towards Bar Kapara, which we don't have for Rabbi Yochanan. And therefore, the Chachamim didn't bother to deal with the Shita Rabbi Yochanan because we don't have answers for it, and it's not going to be Lehalocha. So now we move on to Bar Kapara. In Bar Kapara, Shita Vekash, the Bar Kapara, Beit Shammai. Again, it's worded a little strangely. It's not that Bar Kapara is a problem for Beit Shammai, but rather the Shita Beit Shammai is hard to read in the position of Bar Kapara. The Beit Shammai omrim, akol yisareif mi bifnim, mechutz mishnim ava tuma bechutz. Everything is burnt inside except for something that was an Ava Tuma Bebachutz. Ma ben Ava Tuma Ben Bachutz Ben Mimifnim. Why should there be any difference in Ava Tuma? Ava Tuma is Tuma Deoraita according to Bar Kapara. It doesn't matter what the level is, it just means it's Tuma Deoraita. Why should there be differentiation between inside and outside with regards to Tuma Deoraita? If it's Tuma Deoraita, and that's what matters over here, you should burn everything on the inside, everything on the outside. It should all be the same. Zeh v'zeh lo dvar torahu. Aren't both of them tumot deoraita? If they're both tumot deoraita, they should have the same din. So my answer is that, according to Beit Shammai, begin the Rabbi Akiva Amar. The Beit Shammai's position with regards to tumot deoraita is in the position of Rabbi Akiva. Tamar machom tumato sham te'esreifato. Wherever it becomes tamei, that's where you burn it. So now, the way that Bar Kabbara solves the problem with regards to Beit Shammai is that when it comes to tumot derabbanan vlada tuma, that we bring in, we burn in the Azara. When it comes to Tumah Doraita, there they hold like Rabbi Akiva. And in holding like Rabbi Akiva, they say wherever the Tumah happened, that's where it stays. So if it's Tumah Doraita outside, that's where it stays and it's burnt there. Tumah Doraita inside, that's where it stays and it's burnt there. And there's no movement here. We don't move it in, we don't move it out, because we're dealing with Tumah Doraita. And Tumah Doraita, wherever it happens, that's where it gets burnt. So when it comes to Tumah Doraita, wherever it is, it is. When it comes to Tumah Derabanan, we bring it all in and burn it inside. Isn't there a problem with Bar Kabbara's position with the Gabbai Beit Hillel as well? The Beit Hillel, Amarako Yisarev Mi Bachutz, everything's outside, Chutz Mishnit Ma B'Vlada Tuma B'Mifnim, except for Vlada Tuma inside. Ma Ben Vlada Tuma Ben Bifnim Ben Bachutz. Why is there any distinction between Vlada Tuma that happens in the Azara and happens outside the Azara? V'Zeh V'Zeh Lo Mi Divrehemu. Aren't they both Tumo Dirabanan? So if it's Tumah Derabanan, why does it matter if it's outside? Why does it matter if it's inside? So Gemara says, begin that Beit Hillel's position is premised on that of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, Damar, who says, Machlo Mashko Shel Mitzora Mishtachim Chutz L'Shlosh Machanot. That something that becomes Tamei through a Mitzora, the food, or the items of the Mitzora that become Tamei through him, they get sent out of the three Machanot. Just like a Mitzora gets sent out of all three Machanot, he's sent even outside of the walled city, even outside of Yerushalayim, so too, those items that became Tamei with him have the same status as him, and they're sent out. Now, the truth is here, it's not about sent out, it's that we don't allow you to bring it back in, because we're not allowing you to bring it in. So just like where Rabbi Shimon says, when it comes to a Mitzora, his food items have the same status as him, and we would send them out of the throat, Rimachanot, we won't bring it back in. So even if you have Vlada Tuma, Tuma Derabanan, outside the Azara, we're not going to bring it back in, because we're going to say that the Tuma has the same status as the object itself. And just like you wouldn't bring in the object Midoraita back in, we're not going to bring in back in the object the Rabbanan. Because even lower levels of Tuma, we don't bring them back in. We look at them as derivatives of the original form of Tuma, and they're sent out. Now, the truth is, we don't know where this Rabbi Shimon is, and that's what the Gra says. I don't know where you find this Rabbi Shimon, but there is a Tosefta where Rabbi Shimon says that Kishem She'ena Zavot V'nidot V'yodot Nichnasim L'Arabayit. Just like these women do not go into Har Habayit, kach mishkavanu moshavam kiyotzabem. So too, derivatives of their tuma do not enter in those areas. And so, what the Gra says is that through that Tosefta, the Gemara over here extends that principle of Rabbi Shimon to the Mitzora or to food items and lower levels of tuma as well. That lower levels of tuma that are derivatives of original tumot that may not enter into these locations, they are also not brachin back in, even though they're lower forms of tuma, or they're only tumot dirabanan. So that way we'll explain the position of Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel says everything gets burnt outside. I mean, if it's tuma deoraita, according to Bar Kabbara, that's burnt on the outside. We don't let it stay in. By tuma dirabanan, if it's inside, then we'll let you burn it inside. We're not going to force you to send it out. But if it's already on the outside, then we're not going to bring it back in, because we say that derivatives of Tuma look like the original form of Tuma, and we don't allow you to bring them back in. Even though here it's only Derabanan, but on Doraita we have it, and the Derabanans are patterned after that, and we won't let you bring it back in. Okay, in the next Mishnah. Evrei Tamid, Nitanim Mechatzei Kevesh Ulamato. When they shechted the Korban Tamid, and they put them onto the table of Shayish, that was next to the ramp on the western side, then they moved them onto the ramp to go up to the Mizbeach. When they moved them onto the ramp, they put them on the lower half of the ramp, on the Marav, on the western side, in order to differentiate them from the Shel Musafim. The Musafim, if you have a day that has a Musaf as well, Nitanim Mechatzi Kevesh Ulamata, they're put on the lower half of the Kevesh of the ramp up to the Mizbeach, V'Mizrach, on the eastern side of the ramp. The ramp is 16 Amot wide. You put on the 8 Amot to the eastern side, versus the Tamid, which is put on the 8 Amot on the western side. You can see here there's a girsa flip that happens in some of the Bavli forms of the Mishnah that flips them around. There's also a Tosefta that has a Tanakama who disagrees about whether it was about the upper half of the Mizbeach, lower half of the Mizbeach. The way that we have it in Yushalmi is that the Tamid was put on the lower half of the ramp to the western side, and the Musafim were put on the lower half of the ramp to the eastern side in order to differentiate them, so the Kohanim wouldn't get mixed up and put the Musafim on before the Tamidim. The Tamidim go first, Tamid Tadir, Shenu Tadir, Tadir Kodem. So in order to differentiate them, they put the Tamid down on the bottom on the western side, and that went on first, and the Musafim on the eastern side to go on second. Shal Roshei Chodashim Nitanim Al Karkova Mizbeach. The Roshei Chodeshim, the Musafim, get put up on the top of the Mizbeach in the Karkov. The Karkov is the place where the Kohanim walked around the Mizbeach. The reason for that, Milamalan, up top is because, in order to make it public, that it was Rosh Chodesh that day. In order to do that, they put them on the top of the Mizbeach so everybody could see them and know that it was Rosh Chodesh that day. Hashkalim vabikurim einan noagim elo bifnei habayit. When it comes to bringing shkalim, you only do that when the Beit HaMikdash is extant, because there's no reason to bring Karmanot Tzibor when the Beit HaMikdash is not around. Bikurim also need to be brought up to the Mizbeach, into the Bayit. There's no reason to be Makdish Bigurim, because you can't bring them to the Bayit. Aval, when it comes to Maser Dagan, Umaser Beima, Ubichorot, when it comes to the regular Masrot, Trumot Masrot of grains, which are things that are done bigvulin. Maser behema, which hand bechorot, which have another option, which is, yes, they go on the Mizbeach when they're tamim, but if they get a mum in them, they can be eaten b'mumo in the gvulim, that is still no heg, ben bifnei abayit, ben shelo bifnei abayit, whether the Beit HaMikdash is extant or whether it's not extant. Hamakdish galim ubikurim arzeh kodesh. Someone's makdish galim ubikurim, they are a kodesh, even though you're not supposed to. If you do it, they turn out to be kodesh. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon Yochai says, Omer bikurim kodesh, einan kodesh. That we're mafkir, you're right, to make Bikurim into Kodesh, because it doesn't work anymore. There's no Beit HaMikdash, there is no Bikurim. Now what's obvious from Rabbi Shimon's statement is that that's not true by Shkalim, and the Gemara will discuss that. Now first of all, the Gemara asks the question, Ezu Karkova Mizbeach, when we talk about putting the Musafim Rosh Kodesh up on the Karkova Mizbeach, what is that? It says, Amah ben Karen the Karim, Makom Iluch Raglei HaKohanim. It's an Amah, inside of the Karnot HaMizbeach, the Karnot or the horns, the sides, the piece of the Mizbeach that sticks up, those are on the outer edge of the Mizbeach, the Amah. Inside of that, there's an Amma walking area where the Kohanim walked around. That's what's called the Karkov HaMizbeach. Now the Gemara asks something that's quasi-related to this, which is Musfei Shabbat, Musfei Rosh Chodesh Mikodem. The Musafim Shabbat and the Musafim Rosh Chodesh, which one goes first? Now, truthfully, in terms of the Korban itself, it's clear that the Korban Musaf of Shabbat goes before Rosh Chodesh, both because it's Kodesh and it's more Tadir, so it would go first. The question really here is about the Nisuch HaYayin of the Musafim of Rosh Chodesh and Shabbat, because that has to do with the Shir Shel Hayom. The Shir Shel Hayom is said on the Nisuch HaYayin, and we're going to see here that there might be a differentiation there. So the question really here is, does the Nisuch HaYayin of Rosh Chodesh go first or that of Shabbat? Rabbi Yirmiah, third, fourth generation of Amor in Eretz Yisrael, Savar Meimar, he thought to say, Musfei Shabbat, Musfei Rosh Chodesh, Musfei Rosh Chodesh Kodmin. He thinks that Rosh Chodesh goes first. The Nisuch HaYayin of Rosh Chodesh goes first. Chayle de Rabbi Yirmiah min Hadoh. The koach, the power of Rabbi Yirmiah comes from this. I mean, this is the source for Rabbi Yirmiah, because Shiro Shel Shabbat v'Shiro Shel Rosh Chodesh. If you have a competition between the Shir Shel Yom of Rosh Chodesh and Shabbat, Shiro Shel Rosh Chodesh Kodem, that of Rosh Chodesh goes first. Why does it go first? Because we want to publicize that it's Rosh Chodesh. The same reason why the Musvei Rosh Chodesh go on top of the Mizbeach on the Karkov. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Shnaya Hitaman. It's different over there. That din is different, and what I think you concluded is incorrect. Da'ama Rabbi Chia, that's a third generation Amor, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Yochanan, the second generation Amor in Eretz Yisrael. Kedei lefartzimo ulodia shu Rosh Chodesh. The only reason you do the Shirim out of order is to be mefarsim that it's Rosh Chodesh. That does not mean that you change the order of the Nisuch HaYayin. And therefore, Ketzad Zayah said, then what do you do? Because supposedly it's supposed to be associated with the Nisuch HaYayin, the Shir Shoyom. But you're telling me that the Shir Shel Rosh Chodesh goes first, but the Nisuch HaYayin of Shabbat goes first. So how do I work that out? So here we have in our Gemara, it's a little bit messy, the Girsa, the Gra fixes the Girsa to fit in, but we'll explain it with the Girsa that we have. Shochet Musfei Shabbat, Vomer Alehen Shiro Shel Rosh Chodesh. You shech the Musafim of Shabbat, and while you're shechting the Musfei Shabbat, you say the Shir Shel Rosh Chodesh, akin to what we saw by the Psachim. The Psachim, when they're shechting them in the Azarat, Levim sing Hallel. So there is Shira associated with the Shkita of the Korban. So now you say Shir Shel Rosh Chodesh while you're shechting the Musafim of Shabbat. Bram, Hocha, but nevertheless, Musfei Shabbat, Musfei Rosh Chodesh, Musfei Shabbat Kodmim. Then when it comes to the choice between the Nisuch HaYayin of Shabbat will go first, and the Nisuch HaYayin of Rosh Chodesh will go second. Hashem, Kol HaTadir Mechaviro, Kodem Et Chaviro. From the basic principles, whichever is more frequent goes first. So too here, Shabbat will go before Rosh Chodesh. So what will end up happening is that you'll do the Shir Shel Rosh Chodesh while you're shechting the Karmanei Musaf Shabbat, and you do the Shir Shabbat with the Nisuch HaYayin of the Musafei of Shabbat, and then afterwards you do the Nisuch HaYayin of Rosh Chodesh without any Shir. And that's how you end up having the publicization of Rosh Chodesh through the Shira, but you won't change the order of the Musafim or the Nisuch HaYayin that are associated with them. So Miriam thinks that if you switch the Shira, you also switch the order of the Nisuchim, whereas Rabbi Yosei believes that You don't switch around the Nisuchim, we just work out a way to say the Shira first for Rosh Chodesh. And that's why this Gemara is brought over here, because of this concept of publicizing Rosh Chodesh. Just like by before putting on the Karkovins backwards for that reason, so too over here, the Shira is turned around or switched in order because of that. Now the Gemara continues, Shkalim ubikurim, ha? What would you conclude from our Mishnah, Shkalim kicho? If you actually were Mekadesh the Shkalim, they would be Kodesh, because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the Mishnah only says that Bikurim are not Kodesh, but Shkalim would be Kodesh. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Mishum, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, ben Elu lo kichu. That it doesn't matter whether it's Bikurim or Shkalim, it doesn't work. I mean that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakhama and says Rabbi Shimon Yochai believed that it didn't work for Bikurim, didn't work for Shkalim, you can't be Mekadesh them anymore. So Tanei, Ger b'zman hazeh tzarich lavi kino revit kesef. Ger, in order to convert to grade to the Torah, needs mila, tzvila, and he has to bring a korban. Obviously, without the Beit HaMikdash, you can't bring a korban. So what do? You separate out the kesef, the money, which is a revit kesef, a quarter of a dinar kesef, to pay for the cane, the birds that would go on his bech as his korban. Amar Rabbi Shimon bitla Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai mipnei ha-takala. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who made many takanot with regards to Zecher LeMikdash, about the Mikdash, he had one takana here, which is that he stopped the Gerim from separating Kesef because of takala, because it causes problems. Maui pnei takala, what's the problem over here? Kada detane, like we have in the Breita, ein maktishim, velo marichin, velo machrimim. You're not allowed to make something Kodesh today. You're not allowed to pay erech of an individual. Lo machrimim, you can't use the term cherim to be mekadesh something. For lo magvim, it's clear that chumot to masrot doesn't belong here. So either you eliminate the whole thing, that's what the gra does, or you can say lo magvim, we don't collect these items. If someone's mekadesh them or makdish them, we are not collecting from them bizman hazeh today. Vim hikdish, o erich, o echrim. If he did go ahead and do that, oh, higbia, or someone collected it, then according to the gra, you leave this out. Haksut tisareif. It's clothing, you burn it. Habehemat te'akir. If it's an animal, you destroy it, you get rid of it. Now here we have a little parenthetical statement here, which probably doesn't belong in the Gemara, but explains what does that mean. Teitzad, how do you get rid of the behema? Noel b'fenah delet v'meita me'ala. You lock it up in its pen, and you let it die by itself. V'amot, and monies, yalchul yam ha-melech, get thrown into yam ha-melech, they get thrown out. We don't keep any Kodesh around because of the fear of takala, which is that they'll get utilized for chulin, or they get mixed up with chulin, and it causes huge problems. So we don't allow Kodesh to stay around anymore. So too by the ger, we don't allow him to separate out the money for his korban. So now, avar v'igdish. What happens if the ger, despite our suggestion, goes ahead and is makdish the money? What's the din? Min ma dama Rabbi Shimon. From what Rabbi Shimon said, that bitla Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai mipnei ha-takala. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai got rid of it because of the problem it would cause. Adam ra, avar v'igdish kidro. Then you would suggest that it would work. I mean, the only reason that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai has to be vato it is because it actually works. Since it works to make it Kodesh, that's why you have to get rid of it. If it didn't become Kodesh, then you wouldn't have to have Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to eliminate the practice. Now, Rabbi Yudan, Anna Todraina, or Androndraya, we had this earlier in the Masechta, it's from the city, or the Yeshuv up in the Galil. Baikume Rabbi Yose asked this question before Rabbi Yose. Hachat Amar, by the ger you say Kiddisho, that it works. If he's Makdishit, it works. Hachat Amar lo Kiddisho. By the Shkalim, if he separates it out, you said that it doesn't work, and it's not Kodesh. So why is there a difference? Why do you say by the ger, who also can't bring his korban today, you say it works and it is Kodesh? By the Shkalim, you say if he's Makdish them, then we mafkid his right to bring them, and we don't say that there's Kodesh. They're not Kodesh at all. Samalei, Taman. Now there's again a big mess in the Girsa. The Gra eliminates this whole piece down to the wide lines. If you look in the wide lines, Shemi Yibaneh Beit HaMikdash. But in the interim is basically an explanation of what we'll say anyway, which is, by the case of the Shkalim, Shemi Yibaneh Beit Kaberishona. Maybe the Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt. Vititrom Truma Talishka Min HaChadasha. And then they're going to need a new Truma by Bizmana, by Echad Minisan, at the time of Echad Minisan. And anything that's already Kodesh for the Shkalim will be last year's coins, and they won't go towards the Trumat HaLishka. So there's no point to be Makdish the Shkalim now, because they're not going to go towards the Trumat HaLishka. They're going to get dumped in last year's coins, and they won't be useful. So therefore, we don't allow them to become Kodesh. V'hocha ma'it l'cha. Over here, by the Korban, as soon as the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt, you can bring it. Time is not an issue with regards to the Korban of the Ger. And therefore, that reason, the Ger's Korban works if he does it against our wishes. Then it is Kodesh, whereas Gevay Shkalim, if you do it, it doesn't work. It doesn't work at all, because we were mafkir, you're right, to make it Kodesh. Now, what's interesting here is there's actually a difference between the Yishalmi and the Bavli. Yishalmi says the Ger must not or shouldn't be Makdish his Korban, whereas the Bavli says that he doesn't have to, implying that if he did, if he wanted to, he could. Yishalmi takes a different stand and says it's completely asur, or we're told him not to do it. Right, then the Gemara concludes over here, Amar Rav Ada, who is a second generation Amona, Rav Huamnuna, Rav Ada Bar Ahua, who's a first, second generation Amora, B'Shem Rav. So now you have a statement from all these Amoraim in Bavel, which is Rav Ada, Rav Huamnuna, Rav Ada Bar Ahua, B'Shem Rav, Aloha Rabbi Shimon. Aloha is like Rabbi Shimon. Now what they mean here about Aloha Rabbi Shimon, I'm talking about the case of Ger. That's the same quote that it is in the Bavli, and this is all the Bavli Amoraim here. So when I say Aloha Rabbi Shimon, it means with Agabe Ger. By Ger, one does not separate out their korban anymore. That's Aloha Rabbi Shimon. That's the same thing that is said in the Bavli. And what's interesting in conclusion is that there is a difference here between the Bavli and the Yushalmi. The Yushalmi here says that as far as it's concerned with Maiser Be'ima and Bechorod, that you're still mafrish them. And that's actually the practice we found in the Gnizot of the Alachot in Eretz Yisrael. The Minog in Eretz Yisrael was even after Churban HaBayit, they took Maiser Be'ima and Bechorod for hundreds of years afterwards. They separated them out and they waited till they got a mum in them. And then they ate them b'mumo after a chacham saw it. Whereas in Bavel, and according to the Bavli, they were also mevatel Maiser Be'ima and Bechorod as well because of Takalah. They'd have to keep them around until they got a mum in them. By Bechorod, they used methodologies to get around it. By Maiser Be'ima, they just never brought them into the Gor, and they never took off Maiser Be'ima because of the problem of Takalah. And as opposed to Yushalmi says they did it, and they had the practice in Eretz Yisrael to do that, in Bavel they did not have this practice, and in Mevatel they didn't take off Maiser Be'ima after the Churban HaBayit. That's another distinction between the Yushalmi and the Bavli. And Shibaneh Beit HaMikdash B'mehera B'yameinu, so that this Masechta once again can be relevant for us. Adran Alach, Masechet Shkalim.